last month. So we've been hearing Linda Sprunt's name mentioned from the front for a while now. We're really looking forward to what Linda has to share with us. I'll give you a little background. Linda was born and raised in Southern California. In 1977, she attended Bible school in Chicago, where she met her future husband, Doug. After Bible school, Linda was a missionary in Bolivia for a year and a half. And shortly after returning to North America, she and Doug were married and have been making their home in the Ottawa area for nearly 38 years. They owned and ran Salem Storehouse for 33 of those years. So some of you may know her husband from that. Linda is currently on staff at their local church in Carlton Place, as well as a part-time receptionist at her chiropractor's office in Ottawa. And she says that her favorite role is being a mom of four married children and a grandma to 12 grandchildren. So you'll notice on your table that there are two sheets. This one is from Linda, The Fruit of the Spirit, and the other one is from the book that she's going to be speaking from. So just make sure you get those, and without further ado, I'll give you Linda.
Betty, am I on? Yep. Keep talking. I'm talking. So hello, everybody. It's so nice to be here. It's been a while since I was at your group, but I always enjoy when I do come. And last time I came, I was actually here to hear a speaker, so it was nice to come and participate in that way. Val asked me a few months ago, I think it was back in October or November, to be the speaker for this morning's meeting. And I was thrilled because I really do love being with other women and connecting with them. But I do hope that you have not come here this morning thinking that you're going to hear a sophisticated and polished speaker, because neither of those descriptions would ever be used to describe me. And this thing really makes it even more obvious. Not exactly a look I go for. But anyway, that's okay. Have you ever tried to order coffee at a Tim Hortons garbage bin? Well, I've been there and done that. I'm not sure quite how, but I missed the speaker completely, and I got to the garbage bin. I could see that I could still see the menu, so I thought that I was okay. I could even dimly hear the lady asking for my order. So I proceeded to speak to the garbage bin. And somewhere between the coffee and the donut, I realized what I was doing. I was so embarrassed that I simply drove off without my coffee or my donut. And, of course, there was a lineup behind me, too. Or how about the time I did the Superwoman thing? It was in the days when we would often wear pantyhose under our pants. I think it has something to do with panty lines. So one night, I whipped off my pants, pantyhose and all. And this wasn't too bad until the next day when I forgot that I'd worn pantyhose, and I quickly put my pants back on and proceeded to the grocery store with my son David, who was about 5 years old. We were walking through the store, and I noticed that I kept tripping over something, but I couldn't see what it was. Well, we were well on our way out the door when my pantyhose made their way completely out of my pants down near my ankles. And I was mortified. I wanted to just leave them there, but that didn't seem very polite. So I knelt down and picked them up and indiscreetly put them into my purse. I'm not sure when they started to make their exit, but I'm pretty sure they were noticed by some of my fellow shoppers. And living in a small town, I'm pretty sure some of them knew who I was. Betty mentioned that we have four children. What she didn't know is that we had them in less than 4 years. We'd been married for less than 5 years. Because I had to have a section with twins, I had a hard time getting out of bed at night to feed them. Doug would bring me a baby, I'd feed it, and he'd put it back to bed and bring me the next one. One night he brought me David. For some reason, I could not get that child to latch on. He kept crying and crying until Doug finally said, "What's the matter? Why isn't he eating?" And I cried back, "I don't know." So Doug decided to get up, turn on the light, and he took a look at us and he said, "You've got him upside down." Well, your mind does not want to go there, but I really did have him upside down. And I don't mean like front and back. I mean the whole thing. And so anyway, I turned him around. He latched on and all was quiet again. Now, sad thing to say, both these stories are true. But seriously, I know when I come to a ladies' event, I always like to know a little bit about the speaker and what I might expect. So I thought I would give you a brief glimpse into who I am and why I'm here. It all started back in 1955 when I made my grand entrance into the world in Long Beach, California. I was the first born of five. We were raised in a loving, God-honoring home, just 15 minutes from Disneyland. Yes, Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Daisy were my neighbors. After high school, I went to a business college where I studied to be a secretary, or what is now called an office administrator, which sounds a lot more prestigious. And then I worked at a Christian university near my home for 3 years. Next, I traveled to Chicago to attend a Bible college for myself. And that's where I met my husband, Doug. Although we really hit it off and liked each other, it took us 4 years to get married. In between meeting and getting married, he moved here to work in Ottawa at Scripture Bookstore, and I went to Bolivia as a short-term missionary where I lived for 18 months. After marriage, we didn't waste any time, and we had our little girl, Erin, a year later. 2 years after that, we had Bethany, and then 20 months later, we had David and Lindsay. This meant we'd been married less than 5 years, as I said, and had 4 children under the age of 4. We were very busy, and we learned to live one day at a time because, quite frankly, that is all we could handle. All of that was many years ago. Today, our children are aged 36, 34, 33, and 33. They're all married, and they have given us 12 grandchildren, and 9 of them are boys. There's a lot of testosterone around our home. 3 of the grandkids live in Nova Scotia, and they are 15, 13, and 11-year-old boys. The other 9 live locally, and they're ages 6, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.5, and 1, and the baby is 5 months old. We all were able to get together for this first time this Christmas. It's been about 12 years since we were all together, and what a joy. I was definitely in my happy place. You know, when I look back on the last 38 years of living in Canada, I can say I'm so thankful he moved me here. What a great country we're privileged to live in. I love it so much that 6 years ago this month, I actually became a dual citizen. And when I look back on my entire life, I'm not too proud to tell you that at 63, I'm still not quite grown up. I got my first pimple when I was 10, and 53 years later, I'm still getting them. Yeah. At age 20, I thought pimples would be a thing of the past. At age 30, I started to realize that they were always going to be a part of me. I came to accept this fact well into my 40s, and because of my oily skin, wrinkles were slow to appear. But in my 50s, I got my first wrinkle, and I even got used to that. But I have to be honest and tell you that when I got my first pimple in a wrinkle, I was a bit more than just perturbed. Here I was buying anti-wrinkle cream and still buying anti-pimple cream. I learned the fine art of applying the anti-pimple cream first and then carefully applying the anti-wrinkle cream around it. I was getting quite comfortable with this new regime until a couple years ago when, to my horror, I found a new affliction. I had a coarse hair growing out of a pimple in a wrinkle. That was the ultimate insult. Now, as fun and silly as those stories are, they're not why Val asked me to come talk this morning. She actually asked me to come speak to you about a couple different things. And at first, I wasn't quite sure how to put them together. But I pray that you will be as encouraged as I was when I was preparing this short talk. The first topic is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The second was the weight of our words. As I sat there and thought about it, the Lord was like he turned a light bulb off in my mind, in my heart. What if we were to weigh our words using the fruit of the Spirit as our scale? Wow, this could be a game changer. I wish I'd done this when I was younger. Did your mom ever utter the words to you, "I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap"? Well, mine didn't just say the words. She actually did it. She followed through. And consequently, I know the taste of several kinds of soap. She didn't just use liquid soap either. She liked using that bar soap. And she had the knack of making sure it was in between every tooth, upper and lower. The only way to get rid of it was with a toothbrush and lots of water. It didn't seem to do a lot of good, though, because I know the taste of a lot of different soaps. My mother's actually a very nice person, so nobody needs to call CAS. But just so you know, it is a part of my life. A Christian musician wrote some powerful lyrics in a song entitled simply, Words. When I first heard them, I was blown away by the truths that this song holds. They've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal. They've made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I'd never been. And they've dragged me down back to where I began. Words can build you up. Words can break you down. Start a fire in your heart or put it out. Let my words be life. Let my words be truth. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. When we take a look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's obvious that the only way we can attain these attributes is through the Lord. He's the epitome of each of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we live our lives in right standing with God, these virtues will be seen in us. If asked, all of us could come up with definitions for these fruit of the Spirit, but as you can see at your table, I've printed out some of the definitions I've found. Love, compassion, care, regard, concern. Joy, delight, happiness, elation, great pleasure. Peace, tranquility, calm, quietness, stillness. Patience, forbearance, tolerance, restraint, fortitude. Kindness, warm-heartedness, affection, warmth, goodwill. Goodness, virtue, integrity, principle, rightness. And faithfulness, fidelity, loyalty, constancy, devotion. Gentleness, tender, softness, mildness, compassionate. And self-control, composure, moderation, strength of will, self-discipline. I don't know about you, but I find it a daily struggle to exhibit all these fruit of the Spirit all the time. I think it's part of being human. I'm a child of God, but I still live in a fallen world. I heard someone recently say that it's wrong to think of ourselves as sinners saved by grace, but I'm not sure. I know that because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, my sins have been forgiven, and God sees me as clean. But I also know that I still sin. 1 John 1:9 assures me that I'm not alone in this. I'm sure this verse was not written just for me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This verse is written to believers. God knows we're human. He knows we aren't perfect. So my need to rely on him to produce spiritual fruit in my life is very evident. All of us know that the words we speak will have a lasting impact on those who hear them. I've heard a lot of words in my lifetime, but some of the loudest are the cruelest. I remember being told I was fat, I was ugly, and I was sloppy. I know that I was also told I was pretty, smart, and a great leader. but which of these messages do you think that I remember most often? I recently read in a devotional the following words. Don't be mistaken. Words are powerful. With our mouths, we can hurt feelings, curse others, lie, say ungodly things, etc. The Word of God makes it clear. You will be held accountable for every idle word, whether it slipped out of your mouth or not. Well, I'm saved by grace, you might say. Yes, but that faith in Christ produces obedience. You can't praise the Lord one day and curse someone out the next. Christians do not willfully practice sin. We must ask God to help us tame our tongues. It might seem like no big deal to you, but God takes this very seriously. If you struggle in this area, go to God and tell him, Lord, guard my lips. I need your help. Convict me. Help me think before I speak. Make me more like Christ. Use your words carefully and build others up. Now, I know that those words sound a bit heavy, but they also ring true. Psalm 19:14 says, May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And Luke 6:44 and 45 teach us that a tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. As I mentioned earlier, I still struggle with what I say. Sometimes I think I should self-punish and put a bar of Dove in my mouth myself. Recently, my husband and I went through a very hurtful situation with some other believers. I'm sad to admit that in the midst of it, my words were not, they were indicative of what was in my heart. And what was in my heart was hurt, disappointment, and despair. Let's just say that many times during that period of my life, the fruit of the Spirit was not influencing my words or my thoughts. The situation is in the process of being healed, and for that, I'm very thankful. But the words that I spoke can never be taken back. Many years ago, I heard a phrase which will always stick with me. 10% of life is made up of what happens to us. 90% is made up of how we respond to those happenings. Ladies, it's all about choices. Every day we're faced with a variety of situations, and every day we have a choice to make in how we respond to them. That cashier at Walmart who seemingly has an attitude, do I choose to bless her with kind words, or do I choose to treat her with the same attitude she's showing me? That coworker who doesn't seem to be pulling their weight to get a job done, do I choose to slack off as well, or do I exhibit patience and self-control and choose to work willingly at whatever I do as though I were working for the Lord rather than for people, as we're exhorted to do in Colossians 3:23? Or when my husband doesn't notice my new haircut, do I choose to become hurt and treat him with the same indifference? Or do I choose to believe he loves me with whatever haircut I happen to have, and he sees me for who I am and not what my hair looks like? As we leave here today, I pray that we will all be encouraged that we don't walk alone. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." And Matthew 28:20 is one of those promises that we can claim as his children. Teach them to do all the things I've told you, and I am with you always to the ends of the world. So as we use our words to express ourselves, may they be seasoned with a fruit basket brimming with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is only possible through Jesus living in us. I recently came across a hymn called Yet Not I. I've printed the words out on the back of your sheets there. And I would like you, Jenna's going to play it for us right now, but I would just like you to listen to the words and read along with them. And I pray that all of us will live our lives knowing we're not alone. We have the creator of the universe dwelling in us and walking beside us. May we speak the words he gives us to speak as we allow him to live. Just listen to this song, please.
What gift of grace is Jesus my
Why don't we take a moment now and just pray? Father, we just thank you for your word to us today. We thank you that your Holy Spirit indwells us and